Please turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We continue our study that we've been conducting on Sunday mornings concerning our confession of faith, what we believe in this church. And so that's what we're going to continue with today. Genesis 3 will be the first place I invite you to turn. For some people, doctrine doesn't mean much. For them, it doesn't matter what you believe. Yes, I know that we can major on the minors, that is, strongly emphasize something which isn't that important. But I fear that we can minor on the majors as well. That is, have little emphasis on something which is important. The truth is, some beliefs are absolutely crucial. Who God is, who Jesus is, who man is, and what does God say it takes for a sinner to go to heaven are core doctrines, essential beliefs. Another such doctrine is our topic for today, the virgin birth. What you believe about the virgin birth of Jesus makes a difference. It affects not only the nature and identity of Jesus, it affects His ability to be the Savior. Was He God in the flesh, or was He merely a mortal man? Was He a true prophet of God, or was He a deluded miscreant? Was He a great miracle worker, or was He a charlatan, a deceiver? Did He come from heaven as He claimed, or was He from the earth, as we all are? Therefore, I submit unto you that where He came from and how He got here is crucial. We then look into the next item found within our confession of faith. The subject is what we believe of the virgin birth. Of the virgin birth, that's our topic today. Again, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for the privilege of being in Your house. We ask that You bless as we study Your Word. Help us to see the truth of Your Word and, Lord, find application of these great truths that we've been studying. We do ask if there's any in our midst today that is lost, that You would convict them of their sin and draw them to Jesus. We ask that You would grant repentance and faith that they might be saved even today. And, Lord, there may be some here today that question the doctrine of the virgin birth. We ask that You would use Your Word to convict them, to teach them that, indeed, the Lord came through Virgin Mary. So help us as we study. Lift up those, Lord, unto You that are not well, that You would heal them and meet those needs. The unspoken requests, we cast those before You. And we just leave these things at Your feet. We love You today. We honor You. We praise You. Meet every need of every heart, we ask in Jesus' name. And amen. What do we believe of the Lord Jesus Christ in the virgin birth? What do we believe of that? Well, according to the confession, it says, we believe that Jesus was begotten of the Holy Ghost in a miraculous manner, born of Mary, a virgin, as no other man was ever born or could ever be born of woman, and that He is both the Son of God and God the Son. That's what we believe. That's what we will consider today. Now, as we begin in this confession, the first thing I want to bring to your attention is it speaks the specific name, the proper name, the name of Jesus. We believe that Jesus. I just remind you that we do believe that Jesus is the second person of the Trinity. Thus, He is God. Thus, He is divine. But when you also look into the Scriptures, you'll find that He's the supposed carpenter's son over in Matthew chapter 13. You'll find that He is from Nazareth, Matthew chapter 21. You'll find that He is called a teacher in John chapter 3. He is the great miracle worker as expressed in Matthew chapter 11. That's the same Jesus that we're thinking about, the Jesus of the Bible. This is Jesus who was rejected by the Jews. Jesus who was crucified by the Romans, buried in a borrowed tomb, raised from the dead on the third day, ascended into heaven, and who is coming back to earth again one of these days. That's the Jesus I speak of. So lest there be any confusion, any question, when we speak of Jesus was begotten of the Holy Ghost, you know exactly who it is that we are talking about, and I thought it necessary to concern ourselves with that identity. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, when we read this confession, we do believe that Jesus was begotten. That is, he came into this world. I've invited you to turn to Genesis chapter 3. You should be right there. Two things I want to consider about Jesus being begotten. The first is it was promised. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was promised that this Messiah should come. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise thy heel. By the way, I remind you, when we look into Genesis chapter 3, we're discussing the matter of what had occurred at the fall of man. We looked at that last week, didn't we? It's essential to understand about man, what happened to him. Now, as we mentioned last week, if you don't believe that these things are true, well, then you're going to have a different perspective altogether, aren't you? I believe the first 10 chapters of Genesis is true, and I believe that history is true. Although we spoke last time of the creation, we also spoke of the fall of man. Now, when Adam and Eve sinned against God, and when they partook of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they fell and they committed sin, and God pronounced judgment upon them, but he pronounced judgment upon the devil. And this chapter 3, verse 15 says, I'll put enmity between thee and the woman. And it's a promise unto the devil that one of these days he was going to bring of the seed of the woman someone who would crush his head. Jesus Christ was promised way back in the garden, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. But he was also prophesied, and turn if you will to Isaiah chapter 7. I would imagine you're more familiar with this passage. Isaiah chapter 7. Once again, this is a topical message. It will require a number of places for you to turn. But Jesus was begotten. Not only was he promised, but he was prophesied. Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14 says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. By the way, that word Emmanuel means God with us. And so we believe that Jesus was begotten. Now, how was he begotten? According to the statement, he was begotten of the Holy Ghost in a miraculous manner, born of Mary, a virgin. And so Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth, and he did so by the work and power of the Holy Spirit through Mary. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. We have recorded for us in verse 18, we'll go down to verse 25. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It's after this manner. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, she was engaged. It was, and if you were with us on Wednesday night, you would understand that the engagement is much more than just an engagement like we have in our society. It was a verbal and written contract. She was espoused to Joseph. She was engaged to Joseph. Before they came together, before they were married, before they had any type of relation, it says she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. He's going to put her away quietly because he figured she committed adultery against him. But while he thought on these things, verse 20 says, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. We just read that, didn't we? Which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. The promise, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is described in this manner, that when Mary was engaged to Joseph, she was found to be with child, and it wasn't Joseph's, and he was concerned about that until the angel appeared and said, wait a minute, Do not be concerned. This child is from the Holy Spirit, is it not? And so we read that very clearly in the text. That which is conceived of her, verse 20, is of the Holy Ghost. And so she's going to bear a son, and she shall name that son Jesus, we read in verse 21. Where Jesus means Savior, the Deliverer, the Yeshua. But I want to remind you, she was a virgin. Verse 25 says, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Jesus was truly born of a virgin, a sexually pure girl. Turn, if you would, to the book of Luke, the first chapter. Luke chapter 1. Just one verse over here. Luke 1. Verse 35, now lest you be raising up the question, well, wait a minute, the word for virgin can mean a maiden, can mean a girl, and that doesn't mean that she's sexually pure, and so how do you know that she was a virgin? Well, when the angel appears to Mary, as recorded for us in Luke chapter 1, she makes that declaration unto the angel, and in verse 34 says, how shall this be, saying, I know not a man. I mean, she understood the biology of it, and she has never had that kind of relationship. How in the world can I have a son? And the angel answers in verse 35 and says, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And so we must bear in mind when we believe these things, we talk about the virgin birth. She was a sexually pure girl of whom the Holy Spirit overshadowed, and she was conceived of by the Holy Spirit, and she bore a son, and that son was, of course, Jesus, the very one we identified at the beginning. And now this truly is a miraculous event. It just does not happen unless God brings it about. As a matter of fact, the statement which we have that I've been using in this confession says that he was born in a miraculous manner, born of Mary, a virgin, and it continues with, as no other, that's what it says, as no other man was ever born or can ever be born of women. Nobody else can do this, and nobody else had. You're still in Luke chapter 1, are you not? It's an absolute impossibility for a girl to be with child except by the working of God in this condition. Luke chapter 1 verse 37 says, and the angel's just comforting Mary. He says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. It's impossible to man, but with God nothing is impossible. So Jesus Christ was born of Virgin Mary as no other one has ever been, nor ever shall be. Absolutely unique. And he was begotten of by the Holy Spirit. We believe these things to be true. Because of that, and as we express within the text, the latter part of verse 35 said that he shall be called the Son of God. The remaining of that description in the confession says that he is both the Son of God and God the Son. And this is where we will take the remainder of our time. But so let's think about this. Who is Jesus? Born in such a particular fashion as this. Turn, if you would, to the book of Mark, the first chapter. And we're going to note several references under this consideration about who Jesus is. And so we think even at this time of the year, and this message could be preached any time of the year. It doesn't have to be on December 23rd. I could preach this in the dead of summer. Still, nonetheless, true. We think of coming of Jesus Christ from heaven to earth. How did he get here? And why did he come? Very important, isn't it? Who is Jesus? Now, every one of you today have a concept in your mind who you think Jesus is. For some of you, you might perceive and think, well, I just kind of think it's just a good story. It's just something that came down through history and it's just kind of developed into the way it is, and it's just a story. It's just a fable. Others of you may be thinking, well, you've heard the name Jesus before, but you think he's just a man, just like everybody else. The rumor has that Mary had an affair with a Roman soldier, and so that's what you believe. Well, maybe that's your concept. I don't know. I believe that Jesus Christ was born of a Virgin Mary and he was begotten of by the Holy Ghost. That makes him different than any other. Well, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, but yet he's also God the Son. So let's look at these things. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Go over to the book of John, if you would. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Excuse me. John chapter 1. I submit unto you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In John chapter 1, verse 1 says, In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Our confession declares unto us, verse 14, this is what you want to look at. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ left heaven, came to earth. He's the glory of the Father. And he's the expressed image of Him, that Scripture tells us in another place. But you find at the beginning of verse 14, John chapter 1, that the Word was made flesh. The Word, the Logos, God, was made flesh. He is the Son of God. Turn, if you would, to Philippians chapter 2 as a related passage here. I'm adding this to the confession statement or to the verse references. Philippians chapter 2, it is necessary to consider, who is this Jesus? Is He God? Did He come from God? Or is He just a man like every one of us? I believe that the Word was made flesh. Philippians chapter 2, verse 7 says, but He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, He humbled Himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ laid aside His glory, left heaven, came to earth, to be born of a woman. God incarnate. Thus, He is the Son of God. Keep a finger in Philippians. Go way back to the book of Psalms. One verse here in the prophecy and as recorded for us in Psalm. I'm going to invite you to the second Psalm. Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Verse 7. The Scripture says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. Psalm 2, 7. Thou art my Son. This day I have begotten thee. Jesus left heaven and came to earth and was born of Mary. Galatians chapter 4. That's why I asked you to keep a finger in Philippians, because it was much easier to go back over to Galatians than it would be if you just tried to find it. Go back to your left from your finger there in Philippians and look into Galatians chapter 4. The Bible records for us in verse 4. Galatians 4, 4, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, Mary, under the law. So what we read, we're not reading just a good story, a grand story. What we're reading of is a historical account of the Lord Jesus Christ leaving heaven, come to earth, be born into the human race, born of a woman. But He didn't have a human father, He had a heavenly father. That father is God. 1 John chapter 5. And so we have the Son of God. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come. Do you know that today? Some of you doubt that. Some of you are not sure. Well, you've heard of it, and you've been in church, but you just are not convinced that Jesus is the Son of God. I have an acquaintance that believes that God is God. He believes in God with all of his heart, but he doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. So I know it's possible for you not to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And yet John writes here to John the Apostle, and he says, we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding that we may know Him that is true, and we are in Him that is true, even in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Notice that. We know who Christ is. He is the Son of God. But yet at the end, he says this is the true God. Bear that in mind, because our statement declares that not only is Jesus the Son of God, but he's also God the Son. Go back, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We believe in this church that Jesus Christ was God before anything ever began. In fact, he was involved in the creation. We dealt with that a couple weeks back. And this Jesus left heaven, came to earth to take himself a human body. He is thus the Son of God, but God the Son. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a statement in verse 47. It says the first man is of the earth, earthly. It's a reference to Adam. Adam was made of the dust of the ground. He was in this world. He's of the earth, earthly. By the way, you're of the earth. Do you know why? Because you're a descendant of Adam. That's where you come from. Mother and father, you come from Adam. We talked about Adam last week, didn't we? Again, it makes a difference what you believe, doesn't it? And it says that the first man is Adam. It says the second man, that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can read through the context. It's very clear, very evident. The second man is the Lord from heaven. And so we'll find in theology, you'll find the discussion that Adam was called the first Adam and Jesus was called the second Adam. The first Adam was made by God of the dust of the ground. The second Adam was born of a woman, but with no earthly father. That's only a miracle that could bring that about. And it was the Holy Spirit that overshadowed her. So this is the Son of God and God the Son. So if you would go to Mark chapter 14, I'm going to add some verses to the list that's found in the confession. Mark chapter 14. In fact, according to the confessional list, we're through with the verses that they list. But I'm not through with the message, and so we want to look at some other verses. We think about who Jesus is, and who do you think he is today? I submit unto you, he's the Son of God, but he is God the Son. So we look into Mark chapter 14, and we notice that the Scripture defines for us a declaration that maybe you don't give a whole lot of thought about, but recognize what's being expressed here in the text. And this is the time where Jesus is being questioned by the high priest. This is right before his betrayal. He's already been betrayed, but he's going to be handed over to the Romans, and he's going to be executed. Pick it up there, Mark 14, look at verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it in which these witnesses against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. And again the high priest asked him and said unto him, and here's the question that they posed, "Art thou the Christ," that's the Messiah, the Jews were looking for the Messiah, the anointed one, "art thou the Christ?" And they knew who the Christ was, "the Son of the Blessed." That's a reference to God the Father in heaven, is it not? And so the priest just straightly asks him, and Jesus answers, it says in verse 62, "I am." "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed?" "Yes, I am," Jesus says. And he says, "And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the cloud of heaven." Of course, they got all upset about that and said it's blasphemy. And so they convicted him and condemned him to death and carried him away to the Romans. But what we find here is a clear understanding that Jesus Christ is the Son of the Blessed. Is he the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Is he the one that was promised to come? Yes, he is. That's who Jesus is. And so, my friend today, if you have a different perspective than that which I'm expressing to you today, you need to correct your belief. The Bible makes it very clear who Jesus is. And he's not a man like you and me. He is the Son of God, and he is God the Son. You need to know that, and you need to believe that. And so, in thinking about the matter that he is the Son of God, go, if you would, to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. A few thoughts here about Jesus Christ being the Son of God. John chapter 6, verse 66. And Jesus had been teaching all day long and had some really tough things to say. And there were people that had been following him for several years. And they didn't like what he had to say. You know what? They just quit following him. They turned around and walked off. They said, we've had enough of you. So they walked off. We pick it up there in verse 66. It says in John 6, 66, from that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Notice Peter's pronouncement. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the declaration. That's what had him condemned by the Jews, was it not? Are you the Son of the Blessed? And Peter says, we believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. By this confession which we read unto you today, and we're backing up by scriptural proof today, we're stating unto you that we believe just like Peter states. We believe that Jesus is indeed the Christ, that he is the Son of the living God. A couple references in regard to this, Acts chapter 8. When you read about the Ethiopian eunuch and you know that Philip caught up with him and preached to him the gospel, and they came to a place for water, and Philip had taught the eunuch about baptism. And you pick it up there in verse 37. Here's a declaration of the eunuch. They come to this water, and Philip's, the eunuch says, here's water, what does hinder me to be baptized? And here's Philip's response. Verse 37, Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart. By the way, just know for sure, baptism does not save you. Baptism does not wash away your sin. If it did, why in the world would Philip inject this, oh, you got to believe first? Philip would have been down there like so many in our society. Yeah, come on, let's go down to the waters of baptism, or let's go to the sprinkling or whatever. The eunuch said, what hinders me to be baptized? And he says, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. You got to believe. What is it you must believe? Here's the eunuch's response. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Do you believe that today? The eunuch believed it. Acts chapter 9, turn the page over. Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, when he was first converted and he just began his ministry, we have a declaration concerning what he preached about. Acts 9:20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Who do we preach today? We preach that Christ is the Son of God. That's who we preach. Not everybody preaches that. But we do. Because we believe it. But if you would go to the book of Hebrews chapter 1, not only is he the Son of God, he is also God the Son. Now that makes a difference, because some people in their viewpoints will say, oh, well, if he's the Son of God, he's less than God, and he's inferior to God. No, my friend, we believe not only is he the Son of God, but he is God the Son. Now we already saw an indication of that a few moments ago where it talked about that he was God. But look into Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. It says, for unto which of the angels said he at any time? Here's the Father speaking. Did he say to any angel at any time, thou art my Son, this day I have begotten thee? We read that in Psalm 2, remember? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth into the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And the angels, and of the angels he saith, who maketh his angels spirits, and of his spirits a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, what does the Father state unto the Son? Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Who is Jesus Christ? Well, he is the Son of God, but he is God, isn't he? God in the flesh. Thy throne, O God. The prophet Isaiah declares in regard to this God. Again, Isaiah chapter 9, very familiar passage. If you'd like to turn over there, but I can read it to you. Isaiah chapter 9. And in verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of peace. That son was given, and that son is Jesus Christ. And he's declared of by the prophet to be the mighty God. Jesus is not some inferior God's son. He is God indeed in the flesh. Now, he is the Son of God, but that does not make him inferior. As a matter of fact, do turn to John chapter 10. You see, we have the tendency in our society to think, well, we think the way we always think because that's who we are. But we think of, well, a son is less than the father. And that is not the case, and the Jews are going to bear this out in this passage I'm asking you to turn to. They knew full well what he was saying, and you'll understand the Jewish mindset. So when they say, are you the son of the blessed, and he says, I am, they know that's blasphemy in their mind. And when we say that he's the son of God, and yet he's God, we believe that with all of our heart. You say, well, I don't believe that. I believe he's the son of God, but I don't believe he's really God. You think he's something less. John chapter 10, verse 30. Jesus made a statement. He says, I and my Father are one. Well, that's a strong statement. I and my Father are one. Here's the Jews. Here's their reaction. Verse 31. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not. Notice, why were they going to kill him? But for blasphemy. Why? And because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. In the Jewish mindset, the Son of God equals God. And they said, we're going to kill you because you made yourself God. What did he say? He said, I and my Father are one. They know he's the Son of God. He professes to be the Son. And they said, well, That equates to God. Listen, if you will, I'll give you one more text. Titus chapter 2, verse 13 says that we look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, he is the Son of God, but he's also God, isn't he? God in the flesh. That's what we believe. And we believe it because that's what God teaches us. Let me offer you a few thoughts, and I close. Turn, if you would, to 1 John chapter 5. There are two references I'm going to offer you. One will be in 1 John chapter 5. The other will be in John 5. But turn over there as I give you these thoughts. First of all, in consideration, as we talk about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, because of the virgin birth, I want to make it very clear that he is the divine incarnate. God in the flesh. Verse reference I'll read to you is Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16. It says, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. You say, why in the world would God leave heaven and come to earth to become a man? Because he wanted to redeem men, and the only way to redeem men was to become a man. So the scripture is clear that he didn't become an angel, he became a man. And he did so through Mary. And so the virgin birth reminds us that he is the divine incarnate. Secondly, the virgin birth reminds us that God was his father and not some man. Therefore, God, he is God's son, isn't he? I believe that. The Bible teaches that. Last thing is this. Only by God's Son can we have eternal life. Are you there in 1 John chapter 5? Look at verse 5. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. If you're going to be saved, you must have a doctrine, you must have an understanding that Jesus is the Son of God. Go to John 5. Now, just to have that understanding doesn't mean that you're saved. But if you don't have that understanding, if you do not have that belief that Jesus is God's Son, you cannot be saved. You must believe that he is the Son of God. And then you're in a position to be saved. John chapter 5, I close with this. Verse 22. How essential is it to really know about the virgin birth and who Jesus is and how he came and what he did desire to do when he came? John 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. By the way, God judges sin, and He judges sinners. Lest you're here thinking, oh, God will never put anybody into hell. All judgments committed into the hand of the Son. Verse 23. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent Him. Verily, verily, I say unto you. Jesus is speaking, and He says, He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You must believe in who Jesus is. You must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the fact that He was crucified for sinners, He was buried, He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and only through Jesus Christ can you have eternal life. And if you will not believe in Jesus, you will not believe in the work that He has done and what He can do in your life in saving you, then you will die and go to hell forever. If you do not believe that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, Mary, that He's God's Son, and that He's the God in the flesh, you will not have eternal life. You must believe these things. Will you believe in Jesus Christ as what the Bible describes Him to be? The virgin birth. You didn't think it was that important, did you? Makes the difference in the world, doesn't it? Because I'll tell you, if He wasn't born of a virgin, we have no hope. But the Holy Spirit overshadowed, and He came. He lived, and he was killed. Rose again the third day. One of these days He's coming back. Do you believe it? Will you trust Him? Would you be saved? Let's stand. Father, thank You so much for Your Word. Thank You for the truth of it, that we can know who Jesus is, know where He came from and how He got here and why He came. Thank You so much for this doctrine. And thank You for working that, because we know that without You it would have been impossible. But yet she was with child of the Holy Ghost. Thank You so much. We pray for the lost today that they might be saved. We who are saved might be encouraged and strengthened through these things. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Number 326. 326.